So I got the first chapter. We need some math here. We'll figure out that one is first. So, 1 Peter 1. It was said, commandments of the apostles, and obviously from Peter. And 1 Peter 1, 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So, first we figured out who he's writing to. He's writing to basically everybody. Everyone around, all those people that are scattered about. Peter was one of the most, I think, one of the most inquisitive and honestly one of the more well-known apostles. It was said Peter and the other apostles, and, he was very influential in my life as far as reading through all this. He gets, obviously, his authority from Christ, so we know that what he speaks is truth, and he wrote inspired of God. And 1 Peter 2 and 12, 2 through 12, we kind of get this not necessarily an instructional. He's not saying, do this, do that. It's not what we might think traditionally as a commandment. Peter's saying who he's writing to, but with a mix of I'm writing to people who believe, and here are things that I assume you know about yourself if you truly believe. Basically, if you say you believe, that's what you should be doing. And what you should have in your life. And we're not told to do these things, but in context, it is kind of blatantly obvious. If you're a smart man, you can kind of get the picture. And thinking about that, this might help all the men in the crowd. So if your wife or girlfriend or mother, saying, she may not always say what she explicitly wants. where do you want to eat? Well, I have a coupon for Chick-fil-A. She's not saying, I want to go to Chick-fil-A. She said, oh, here's a thing that I'm going to tell you that's not directly corresponding to your question. But it sort of implies, oh, I have a coupon for Chick-fil-A. Oh, I want to go to Chick-fil-A. The men would say, oh yeah, let's go to Chick-fil-A. I may get in trouble for that, but hey. But it's all about context. All about context. The other day, Mom had her comforter in the dryer, and I was trying to clean clothes. And I'm like, hey, you get your thing out of the dryer? She's like, oh, I was just cleaning my comforter. Okay. Did you get it out, though? Oh, no. Thank you. But, so, not always explicit. Not always, it takes a second to think about what you're reading. Enough rassing on her. Go through 2 through 5. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So, here we go. We're, the elect according to the foreknowledge. I'm assuming, this is writing to those who know God, the Father. Through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, and salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So, written to those who are in the faith. You're believing, elect according to those that know God, sanctified by obedience. So that's the first thing. Are we obeying what we're doing? What we're supposed to do? Are we obeying those commandments? Those kept by the power of God through faith. Are we having that faith? Are we building that faith through obedience. Peter, 1 Peter 1:6-7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So, what are we doing? We're rejoicing in tribulation and trials. You say, for those that rejoice in tribulation and trials. Again, who is he talking to? The people who have faith. The people who follow, who obey God. Do you say that you are a follower of God? Like Bill said, you know, the commands have affected you in some way, otherwise you wouldn't be here. So we get to this point, you know, all this stuff he's saying, he's not explicitly saying, hey, rejoice in your tribulation. It's told in other places, but here specifically, he's saying, you know, let's go back. He said, wherein ye greatly rejoice. He's not saying, okay, let's rejoice. You know, we will face, you know, temptations. But when we're tried in the faith, he's saying it's better than gold, and it brings glory and honor to Christ, which we'll touch on here later on, or right now, because I changed the slides around. So when we're tried in the faith, Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So Job was saying, you know, I'm sure a lot of us know the story of Job. He was very wealthy, had all this stuff, and, you know, the devil was like, hey, I bet I can get him to curse you if I just take away all the stuff. And as you know, the story goes, you know, all these trials and tribulations, Job's remained true. He's like, you know, I know it's the way that I take. When he tries me, I'll come forth as gold. So, really pushing on that value. And, you know, again, we're not explicitly told, but think about, you know, riches on earth. Think about all the wealth that we have on earth or don't have, and all these other people, you know, all these riches, you know, gold and silver, diamonds, you know, all these are symbols of wealth. They always remain symbols of wealth because they're rare. And you just don't find it anywhere. And the same remains true for us. There may be, you know, false things. You know, you have fool's gold and cubic zirconium. There's always imposters. And when you look around, there's always imposter Christians. They claim to be Christians, but do they go to church? Do they follow in the faith? You know, are they rejoicing in tribulation? All these things we look at, we can judge what is true. And more importantly, for your sake, to know if you are true. And all these things, you know, throughout all of the epistles, you know, we can see this. Whom having not seen, verse 8 through 12, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You know, so with very many, Christ was not here for very long on the earth. And aside from everything, we've not seen Christ. you know, unless you're an apparition from somewhere in 0 to 33, you've not seen Christ. And, you know, regardless, we believe. Yeah. Again, Peter's like, I'm assuming if you proclaim the faith, you know, you may not have seen Christ. And in those times, you know, it was, we didn't have cars or trains or planes. You know, there wasn't really, even if they did live back then, they probably didn't see Christ because, you know, he kind of hung out around Israel and Jerusalem, or what would have been if Romans hadn't been ruling, I guess. You know, regardless, we believe. And yet we rejoice. We have the salvation that those before us sought after. You know, before those that knew the salvation, you know, they read in Isaiah and, you know, all these things. They knew the prophecies. They knew what was to come. And we know, we have the benefit of having the entire Bible in front of us. You know, it's something that I think we don't always think about. You know, we have readily accessible material on everything that God wants to tell us, that everything that he sees fit that we should know to follow him, he has given it to us. And, you know, oh, it's on my counter. Or have you picked it up at all? You know, you're going to work. You know, you get your, okay, I got my keys, got my wallet, got my phone. Can't leave without my phone. Did you remember to read? Did you remember to pray? Did you thank God that you had another day to read? You know, did you rejoice that you had another day to follow God, to spread the word to others? And I may not be the best preacher around. I will probably never be. all that aside, I do enjoy speaking to people. You know, I'm a Galilean, I don't do it pretty well. but our family line is notorious for not being able to speak or read or anything like that. but I try, you know. And being able to be here and to speak to you guys, it brings me joy to do so. And, you know, preaching the Holy Ghost, he said, those that the angels seek. So I think it's a beautiful and glorious thing. First Peter 1:13-16. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Okay, we're getting into some more thick. He's like, okay, I'm assuming you got all this down. You know, you're rejoicing. You got the salvation that those before you seeked. You know, all this stuff. All right, so here's what I want you to do. Gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you, be holy. Sorry. Which hath called you holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So yeah, a little more explicit. He's saying, okay, you know, let's hope, and let's, as obedient children. So, you know, think about the children. You know, for the most part, they tend to be relatively obedient. I was kind of a rebel back then, but still a little bit of a rebel. But besides the point, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust in our ignorance. You know, we're not thinking in the flesh. You know, putting that off. That's why we have baptism. That's why we're burying the old person. We're burying that old man, and we are coming up new. We're reborn. We're children, as it were. You know, till we see Christ, gird up our loins. Little bit of a history lesson here. Girding up your loins. Most of the time you'd have a tunic. And you know, it'd be flow. It's basically a robe. And girding up your loins was to wrap and tie it up above your legs. And that was to, you know, it helped your legs to move freely, so you can do heavy labor, or in case of the Israelites, to fight. Traditional garb, it was naturally hindered the movement of the legs, much like a tight dress. It just kind of hinders you from moving. And we're told to be sober. Or don't know what that means. You know, be calm and collected. Don't let things get to you as hard. I have the biggest problem with that sometimes. Being sober. You know, you get cut off in traffic, or you know, something just doesn't go the way you wanted it to. And you just get a little bit antsy, you just that person. You probably never see that person ever again in your life that cuts you off in traffic. You know, you're on the highway, they cut you off. I'll never see that person, that car again. And if I do, I won't remember. So, why are you letting it get to you? And everything else, you know, if you're at work and a certain thing breaks or doesn't go your way, you get upset, it's just a thing. You know, we have this term at our, some of you don't know, I work at Chick-fil-A, and, you know, we, multi-million dollar company, or the company itself, multi-billion, but our restaurant alone makes millions of dollars, and, of course, some of it could be attributed to the chicken being so expensive, but it's so good, right? It's so good. Our term that we have, whenever someone gets upset, someone gets discouraged, they're behind on orders, don't worry. It's just chicken. It's just chicken, guys. Calm down. And, you know, when it gets to that, you know, when you can see a difference in someone who's being sober, someone who's plants their feet down, they're like, okay, I'm behind, I got 4-minute orders, I need to tighten that gap in my time. They stand, they're like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. You know, it's being calm and collected, figuring out how you want to do things. You're basically zeroing in. That's what we need to do as Christians. We need to zero in. Zero on what? That salvation of Christ that we get through our faith. We're getting that if we hold true. And if, you know, eventually that person gets their times down, you know, they're getting orders out 30 seconds, a minute, you know, they've tightened up that gap. And they're zeroed in on that goal of getting chicken out quickly and efficiently. And likewise, you know, you have on the other side someone who's crazy, who's losing their mind because they're so behind, and they're frantic, and they're like, oh, where's my cheese? Oh, where's my bun? I need buns. And they're all over the place, and they end up getting more behind because they're not thinking about what they're doing. They're just trying to be quick, but end up not being quick at all. And well, relating to, for some reason, I always talk about Chick-fil-A whenever I do a lesson. I don't know why. It's so relatable sometimes. But relating that to us, you know, we can have troubles. We have those, again, those tribulations that we need to be rejoicing in. We have all these things that happen. Life gets so crazy. You never get a break. You know, if you're not at work, you're messing with your car or your house or, you know, whatever, you know, whatever you have problems with, everybody has problems, be it big or small. And, you know, we have all that. And sometimes you just need to stop. Sit down, take a minute, meditate on the word. Take a second and just think about, you know, you may have all these problems and things that are going bad. Stop and think about what's good. Stop and think about what God's given you now. And, you know, we're told, I didn't put the scripture here. Can't exactly remember where it's at. But we're told, lost my train of thought. Okay. When we have these problems, we're given every tool to deal with that. You know, God will not suffer us above what we are able. You can get through it. Just zero in. Calm down, look at it, take it up. And you can do it. And then, of course, be holy as I'm holy. You know, we are rotten people. We're sinful. We are of the flesh. And we can't always be holy sometimes. Sometimes we can be the very opposite. But it's always, that's how we can be holy, though. To gird up our loins, to just kind of gather ourselves up and to calm ourselves down, and again, to hone in on our goals. And that's how we can be holy. 1 Peter 17:21, and if you call on the Father, who without respect to persons judges according to every man's works, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You know, there's that reiteration of value, that comparison to gold and silver. And we're looking at that silver and gold versus the blood of Christ. Worldly value, spiritual value. This is far more valuable than any of that. You know, when we die, you know, I'm not taking silver and gold with me. I'm not taking a big diamond ring with me. That's staying here. But the blood of Christ is what covers my spirit. It washes me. It cleans me of the sins that I know I commit. Christ's sacrifice was planned. It was, again, part of the foundation of the world. God knew this would happen. And he stuck with it. He knew that he would have to sacrifice Christ. Ever think about that? Before the foundation of the world, before he even made the people, that he was going to have to send his son to die for the very people that he was about to create. And when I am working on stuff, I'm like, I know this is going to break. I know this is going to go wrong. But I got to do it anyway. Just get out of the way. Tear the band-aid. I may know something's going to go wrong. You know, we can be follow Christ. You know, trying to be as obedient as possible. But you know you're going to sin. Your flesh is weak. You know it's going to happen. And yet, you stick with it. Yes, I'm going to follow God. I know I'm going to sin, but that's why I need to follow God. That's why I need it. Believing his resurrection gives us faith and hope. And that's what we need to zero in on. His resurrection. That gives us that faith. That gives us that hope. the hope that we will one day be resurrected. We're corruptible beings. We're in the flesh. The flesh dies. And Revelations 2:10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have a tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be faithful. Until the time that you die, you know, you get all kinds of crazy, but as long as you're following God, as long as you're remaining true, we will get a crown of life. Romans 8, 16 through 18, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 22-25, 1 Peter 1, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of the Lord endures forever. Unchanging, ain't nothing going to take that away. And that, the word which by the gospel is preached. So if you ever think about that, there you go. Stay true, love one another. Be born incorruptible seed. What's that doing? Baptism. We're being born of an incorruptible seed. That's the ceremonious putting away, being reborn in the Spirit. We're born of the flesh, and the baptism, being born of the Spirit. And, you know, the flowers of the grass, the word, you know, we may have all this glory in our life. You know, some may be rich, some not as rich. You know, we have fame, we have fortune, we can have gold and silver, but none of it will matter in the scheme of our life after we die. You know, I'm not going to get a better mansion than you, or you're not going to get a better mansion than I, and it's all going to be the same. And like it was talked about last night at church, you know, we have the same. Lost my train of thought again. None of it matters. What we do, how we do it, as far as the worldly goes. But following that word of the Lord, that's the thing that lasts forever. You know, we can read those fishing videos or whatever, and I don't know about you, but I have a smartphone. It's top of the line, eh? You know, I have the Bible put on my phone. I'm always carrying it around. Am I reading it? Am I doing all this stuff? You know, I'm not here for very long. In the grand scheme of things, you know, I max probably 100 years. I got some heart problems, so maybe a little bit less. But the Earth has been around for a good while. Not a few billion years, but it's been around for a little bit. You know, the speculation of like 6,000 years or so, which not important. What's important is what God has put forth for us. And what he's put forth for us is the Word. So, all this stuff are commandments, like we talked about. These are commandments. They're not explicitly said, you know, to do this or do that. But we can gather a few things from it. Staying in the faith, rejoicing in trials, remaining in that joy of salvation, being mentally ready, you know, keeping our minds drawn towards God, towards the cross, in His Word. That's how we'll be ready. You know, being sober, being calm, you know, looking at what we have in the Word, putting it into our lives, and sticking with it. And then through that, we can be holy. We can be holy with God, with Christ. And, you know, recognize the blood of Christ and its value. You know, it's worth more than anything. It's the most important thing we have. And He gives it to us freely if we but stay in the faith. Rejoice in those trials. All this. And remain in the Word. Are we reading that Word? You know, it's easily abused. You know, we have, especially in the states that we have here, we have it everywhere. I got like two Bibles at home. I got a Bible on my phone. Got a Bible on my computer. I got it everywhere. At a snap of a finger, I can bring up a scripture. But am I actually using that? Am I using that for my good? And, you know, we'll see more reiterations of these initial points in the rest of Peter's epistles. And it just kind of further solidifies the importance of these things that he's spoken about. This time I haven't done too bad. Bill tried to take some of my time away here, speaking over. But I will close my thoughts at this time.